Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City. We are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Welcome in. It is Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, the very last day of 2025. And I have sitting in with me, John Hancock, this morning. He's filling in for Chris Ranji, who we assume is visiting his family in Chicago. The wife and kids, we're assuming that's where he must be. But thank you for spending the last day of 2025 with us. It has been a pretty big year.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, as we mentioned, it's been a big year. A lot of news headlines here across the city. And we're going to chat, in fact, with St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer. She joins the show at 9:30 for the St. Louis Year in Review. And 2025, as I mentioned, is donezo. John Hancock, who's getting his accoutrements situated as I speak. Well, we'll discuss what happened, who died. That's always, it's kind of morbid, but also really
interesting.
Yeah, to see all the lives we lost in the year past. Also, really fun little poll. What people in 1998 thought it would be like in 2025. And to close out the first half of a season that has not gone well, the St. Louis Blues are in Colorado playing the number one team in the National Hockey League, the Colorado Avalanche. They play tonight at 8, but the St. Louis Billikens men's basketball, they play this afternoon. Our very own Tom Ackerman headed over to Chaffetz Arena. He's got that game.
Yeah, they have looked very good this year.
Really good. I said this yesterday that we haven't had a ton of winning in St. Louis.
We have not.
In the past year.
No.
But the St. Louis Billikens, the men's basketball team, is really, really crushing it. Do they have any losses
one
yet?
Loss. One they loss. Have one loss, and they beat the Sisters of Mercy the other day. what was the score, like 116-3 or something? It was crazy.
I think it was like 150-30. Yeah. I mean, it was quite the victory for the Billikens, but it was just a warm-up. It was just a warm-up game.
And this today is their first conference game, so go, go, go.
There you go. Go Billikens. All right, John, I was saying we have a pretty fun show. We've got Kara Spencer.
Looks like a barrel of monkeys here.
You wouldn't even believe it.
Look what PJ has put together for us.
Wow. Mayor Kara Spencer joins us at 9:30.
Lovely.
We also, I don't know if you know this, John, but every Wednesday we do our midweek, midday, midlife.
Yes, I do know that.
Not middle-aged.
Nope.
Not middle-aged. It's midlife.
Midlife. I remember it well.
Yes. And this one, I do think resonates with you, though, as well. So Paula Almgren, she's the author of Elder Care, The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze, for like taking care of parents. But you're kind of in that situation.
Circumstance.
Yes. That a lot of Gen X, sandwich generation people are in, which is where they're taking care of young kids, but they're also taking care of aging parents.
Yeah, we've got both of it going on at my house, and it's a blessing.
Yeah. So we're going to speak with Paula Almgren and then, of course, look back on the year of 2025. We could start with the city, John.
We could.
Let's start with the city.
All right.
And you can say the state as well. And some of the bigger news stories that we faced this year, since you are our political expert and you are plugged in. The heartbeat on the pulse of St. Louis and the state of Missouri. What do you think were some of the biggest stories in your mind?
Well, I think Governor Kehoe winning the election and really getting his priority legislation through fairly easily, which was the state control of the appointment of the St. Louis Police Board, wresting that from the mayor's office. That was done, and he successfully appointed a board, and they're working. They've just agreed with Chief Tracy to keep him around for a couple more years. And so I think that's a big story out of Jefferson City this year. And, of course, in St. Louis, it's got to be the tornado that swept through in May. I believe it was May. And the response of a brand-new mayor, she'd been in for a month, and gets blasted by this tornado that's still left a lot of unresolved issues in North St. Louis. People's homes still not quite back to where they were, and some folks have had to relocate because of that tornado. Those are the two big stories. And to the mayor's credit, I think she did a really fine job of navigating through that, working closely with the state and federal officials in a bipartisan fashion, something that, you know, there was no track record there for Kara Spencer. And I think she handled herself in that extremely well.
What role or impact, if any, do you think it had that, yes, we had the new mayor and Kara Spencer when the tornado hit, but we also had Governor Kehoe, who grew up in some of the hardest hit areas, or at least, you know, spent a lot of time there. How did that impact the response?
Well, he was on scene. She, of course, was on scene immediately, and the governor was on scene, I think, the next day. And, I mean, he's well acquainted with that part of North St. Louis City because that's where he did spend his formative years. And I think his familiarity with that part of the city and the architecture and the homes and so forth, I think was helpful. The state did put some money and bring some money to the table to help. And I think the mayor deserves some of the credit for working that relationship in such a way. We did get the disaster declaration from the White House. Senator Schmidt played a role in that. And I think just it was a case where all of the local, state, and national figures came together, something we see decreasingly in the country. And it was good to see.
You know, going back to that time, the day when the tornado hit, and as you mentioned, seeing the governor come together with the mayor, I do think familiarity with the area helps. It can't hurt in any type of disaster response. But going back to that day, I was at my apartment in Clayton when the tornado hit, and I was about a half mile from where it first touched down. And I only bring this up because just I'm thinking of the sequence of events. I was very, very fortunate in the sense that my building didn't get hit, but we spoke with meteorologist Dave Murray that day. And he said, based on kind of like how I described what I felt, that's where the funnel was forming, right at that Wydown and Hanley in Clayton, that area, because it felt like the air got sucked out of my apartment and my ears popped. It felt like my head was going to explode. And I ran into the stairwell, and I literally just felt like my head was going to explode. And then it went from totally calm, right, to very, very windy. About a half mile later, further east at Big Bend and Wydown, it's where the tornado first touched down, made its way down Wydown through Forest Park, started curving north, Lindell up into the Central West End, and North City, where it was its absolute worst. And I say that because when I walked out of my apartment building, I called KMOX. Whenever something happens, I either turn on KMOX or call KMOX. Yeah. And Michael Calhoun put me on air. I said, Michael, I don't know what just happened. You know, I don't know what just hit. I guess it's a tornado, but this is what I experienced. I was on simultaneously with Dave Murray.
Were you scared?
You know, it's weird how you don't feel scared. I didn't feel scared in that moment, probably because I was ignorant to exactly what happened. I said, well, it looked like maybe a tornado. I didn't realize that the worst part of it was still happening.
Yeah.
You know, because it's over in a couple of minutes. And I was looking around. The roofs of the apartment buildings around me were still on. There were some massive trees. But what I didn't realize is if I had walked 100 yards further, which I couldn't because I couldn't get reception, I was cutting out of the radio station, the phone was dropping. But when I started walking down Wydown and it was just got to the point where all of these trees that were 100 years old were tipped over, I realized, oh my gosh, something horrible has happened.
And Forest Park.
And Forest Park.
Look what happened there. Wow.
What, about 4,000 trees and then the homes in North City. And I just remember how when something like that happens, so many lives, different parts of the town, different parts of the city will never, ever be the same.
Oh, no question.
And I didn't know it. You know, I was so ignorant in that moment when I thought, what just happened? I didn't know how bad it was.
Yeah, you know, I'm involved with a little church in North St. Louis, the Great Day Missionary Baptist Church. And some of the structures very proximate to that building were destroyed. But the church itself, there was a tree that landed 6 inches from the handrail leading into the front door, and that was it. The church itself was spared almost miraculously, and they were worshiping there the following Sunday.
Yeah, the next day, I think it was the next day, Matt, when you and I joined the Lumberjacks from the Great Race, who are from St. Louis, joined them in North City by Annie Malone,
the
Annie Malone house there. And even navigating, you know, to get to that area and to get home, you know, there's power lines everywhere. Trees are over the streets. It was, you know, blocked. Homes were destroyed. As you mentioned, like your church made it by a couple of inches.
Yeah.
And seeing the community come together, not just politicians and leaders, but the actual community, the men and women, children who live in those areas and all around it. You know, Allie Rand is her group, which is just a grassroots group of people who have been, you know, stacking brick, boarding up windows, tarping roofs, fundraising, getting Home Depot gift cards to give to families so that they can get immediate help, because it can take a while to get federal assistance or city assistance. They're the street angels. And Allie Rand has, every day she's posting. They were there yesterday, I think, helping in the Academy neighborhood, just a bit north of Forest Park. And she said, you know, this is a blue-collar area. We are trying to help all these people who lost their homes, because even if you have insurance, some of the insurance companies aren't helping, you know, or it's inadequate to fixing their homes, and people want to stay in their homes.
And just finding the labor.
The labor, yes. It's so much. And she goes, here's what I don't want. I don't want that area to be the ninth ward. Because there was, PBS did a story comparing the areas that got hit in St. Louis with the ninth ward in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
Right, yeah.
And how you're trying to say, we're not going to let these areas die.
Yeah, the local response was tremendous, and all the temporary housing and shelter that had to take place, and the feeding of people, and all of that was mobilized and came together was quite remarkable.
All right, shifting gears a little bit, another big story was the Missouri Republicans pushing through some new congressional maps, and the whole redistricting and gerrymandering conversation. What are your takeaways from that, John?
Well, I think it's a bad precedent, and it's still going to be adjudicated in Missouri courts, and there could be an initiative on the ballot for voters to determine whether they want these new maps or not. But it's never been done before here, or at least not in my lifetime, and I don't think it's ever been done.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
before. But, you know, when you have this mid-cycle redistricting where one party controls the governor and the state house and the state senate, if that party control should ever flip on the other way, you know, then the precedent would have been set and they could redraw the district lines. And so, you know, in the context of this, and all of this was a political strategy out of the White House. And first they got Texas and they drew five districts that they believed were Democrat held that Republicans can now win in Texas. California is in the process of following suit by flipping districts in California from Republican to Democrat. And you've had other states like Indiana that refused. They tried to redraw the lines, but they didn't have the votes to do it. And, you know, the realpolitik of the whole thing is this is a midterm election that will cut against the party in power who has the White House, the U.S. House, and the U.S. Senate. History tells you that that's going to be a bad cycle for that party. And this is going to be no exception to that. And I do think there's a possibility that some of the seats that were drawn in places like Texas that are so reliant upon the Latino vote, Republicans may end up actually losing seats because they've drawn their Republican seats to be closer so that they could take those Republican voters and move them into Democrat districts to make them more Republican. It could net be a big loser all the way around for the GOP.
That's John Hancock. I'm Amy Mark Scores. We want to hear from you. A lot of topics to get to today, obviously, many related to 2025 and 2026 and the new year holiday. 314-436-7900. Give us a text. Give us a call. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Well, we went a little long on the tornado conversation and didn't get to some other.
We got spun up.
Amy. We did. Well, the big headlines in St. Louis, but never fear, 9:30, Mayor Kara Spencer will join us. We'll continue our St. Louis year in review. But first, a very pressing question, John.
Yes, yes.
That's our question of the week.
All right.
We do this every week. We debut the question on Tuesday, and then we let it run all week. And our question is, what time will you be falling asleep on New Year's Eve? Here are the options.
Right.
Before 10 p.m.
No.
Between 10 p.m. and midnight.
Yes.
Right after midnight. And I'm up all night, baby. Is that George Ann?
No. No, although it's going to be interesting because I got up really early for me this morning, and I probably won't make it till midnight. That's.
Do you want to make it to midnight?
I don't care. I mean, I usually do on New Year's, just hang around. You know, back in the old days, I married a pyro. And so back in the old days, the pyro would be out there setting off fireworks at midnight.
Would she really?
Illegally. And
you married a scofflaw?
Yeah, I did. And but sometime in the course of the last decade, that passion seems to have subsided.
Has it?
She at one point was a possessor of the preferred pyro card from one of the fireworks stands.
Like Molly Brown's?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have the authorities show up at your house?
Just once.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, do you know who I am? He said, yeah, stop shooting the fireworks.
Well, I do love that. And for people wondering, you're still married to the pyro. It's just
I
that,
am.
Yes, her love for fireworks has subsided. That's
Which
a good
I'm
idea,
very
though.
Thankful for. 1 year on the, it was 2000.
Okay.
And we had people over. This was, you know, the computers were supposed to crash and all that stuff. And so we were doing fireworks in the backyard, and we got this hill. My one job was to light the bomb thing, one of these big bomb things that go off and off and off. And so I'm sitting on the hill there, and my buddy's on the other end of the hill. He's lighting his bomb off. So we, right around midnight, you know, and we hit the bomb thing, and mine starts burning, and then it tips over facing the front of my house. And boom! I mean, that thing missed Mr. Lewis by about a foot and a half. Nobody was harmed. No windows were broken. Oh, but I hope to never see the likes of that again.
Yeah, no kidding. What about you, Matt? He's the youth in the room.
Yeah.
Because I don't really...
He's an old soul, though.
He's an old soul. I've already poo-pooed New Year's. I like to go to bed early and wake up and have New Year's morning, like the sunrise. You're running in Forest Park. You get coffee.
Sounds awful. You start the day early. Sounds horrible.
Yeah.
As the youth in the room.
Well, I won't be shooting off any fireworks. That's never been a thing for my New Year's Eve. But I don't know. I'll stay up late and I'll be with some friends and we will probably imbibe. But it's not late night. Out till 3 a.m., then get home, explode some stuff. It'll be more relaxed. Just spend some quality time with some friends and have a drink.
Will you be drinking Blanton's?
No.
Just so our listeners know, because we have a strong bourbon community. Blanton's bourbon.
Is that
really
a thing?
Really nice bourbon.
Really nice bourbon.
What makes it a nice bourbon?
Well, you've got the corn mash, see? You've got the wheat and the barrels and the amount of time they keep it in the barrel.
They keep it in the thing for a long time?
They do. Uh-huh. Yeah.
How many months do they keep it in the thing?
Oh, I think it's years.
Years
it's
like they keep it in the
10
thing.
10 to 12 years.
Huh.
Anyways, but tonight's like a champagne night. It's New Year's, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could, but don't you think there's something kind of romantic about like a little splash of Blanton's and a cigar?
Yeah.
And everyone else is, they're all tryhards.
Yeah.
Popping champagne, trying to find someone to kiss, but you're off in the corner by yourself.
What are you paying for these Blanton's?
Well, this one was a gift from Tom Ackerman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who got it himself as a gift from a loyal listener.
So he re-gifted his gift and gave it to you.
I'm glad for that.
To be clear, he didn't not want it and give it to you. I think it was a gift to the Gas House gang.
It was.
And because Matt Pajeski is such an integral part of the Gas House gang,
well,
that Tom shared some of the Blantons.
That's right.
Well, that was very nice.
Very grateful for.
Have you ever banged on pots and pans?
I did one year. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Huh.
I've banged on pots and pans.
I've been hit by pots and pans, but I've never banged on one.
Well, maybe this is the year you start.
It could be.
He's John Hancock. I'm Amy Marks-Scores. Mayor Kara Spencer joins us next. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. John Hancock sitting in for Chris Ranji on this New Year's Eve. I'm Amy Marks-Scores. And joining us now, well, we're honored to welcome in the mayor of St. Louis, Mayor Kara Spencer, for a little year in review here as she completes her first year in office. Mayor Spencer, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, I'm glad to be here this morning.
So we have been looking back at some of the top stories that St. Louis and Missouri faced in 2025. And of course, we talked about the tornado quite a bit. And I know we've talked with you about that. But just as you look back this year, is that perhaps the event that stands out most to you as you complete your first year in office?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, for St. Louisans and across Missouri, there have been so many important things, big things that have been on the forefront of people's minds this year. For me, I mean, the tornado really did encompass a large part of my first year in office. And, you know, 2025 as a whole, I mean, we focused so much of our efforts on responding, addressing the needs of our community, and really pushing our federal government to be more engaged, more involved, and more present in the recovery of the tornado. I mean, it was the biggest weather event St. Louis has had in my lifetime, I guess maybe besides the big flood of 93, but the devastation here was just immense, and we're going to be working on that recovery for years to come. Of course, you know, when I started off, when I was first elected, my plan for my first year was really to build the team and really rebuild some of the systems to deliver high-quality services to our residents. That was a big rallying cry in the campaign, of course, but it was really obvious to me as an alder person, as a resident of St. Louis, that we had got to modernize city government and deliver services to residents in a better way. And we haven't gotten too far off track on that. We've been building a great team. Of course, we're a little bit shy of where I'd like us to be because of focusing on that the tornado efforts, but we've also been rebuilding our systems as we go, and I'm really proud of the team we're putting together and the work we've done and some of the hard choices we've had to make in order to better deliver some of those services to our residents this year.
Y'all filled a lot of potholes in 2025. Do you have a count?
Well, we did. You know, we don't have the count offhand. That first month, we did a pothole blitz, of course, and that was really successful. And we've been doing a far better job of it. But some of the other things that we've been working on, you know, we ended alley recycling. And that was a choice that I went into understanding how emotionally involved people are in recycling, how much they care and how much I care about the environment. I mean, it was a tough choice, but recognizing that it was a program that was quite frankly failing. And, you know, after a few months of really getting the drop sites in order, communicating that to the public, re-educating folks how to better, more consistently recycle, it was enormously gratifying that in the month of December, we were able to show that we were actually more successful that month in recycling than we were in December of 2024. And by that, I mean we recycled more tonnage. And that's because we were collecting the recycling at drop sites. There was very little contamination compared to, you know, overwhelming contamination in the alley recycling, which meant all of that material was rejected on site. We saved the city hundreds of thousands of dollars in recycling fees for rejected material, and we recycled more waste at the end of the day. So while that was a really tough decision and a really tough message to get out, and, you know, had some tough conversations in community about shifting that, it was successful in the end, and we are looking forward to continue to making some of those tough calls and working through the details and making sure folks are online. I mean, you know, we had a program that allowed our city resident, or excuse me, our city workers to have paid medical leave, which we knew was resulting in extra vacation time for many of our city workforce and really making it difficult for those who are showing up to work on a regular basis to do their work because so many of their colleagues were off on family medical leave. And making that big shift for city workers resulted in enormous increases in worker attendance and has enabled us to do the work that we need to do for our citizens in a far better manner across departments in the city of St. Louis.
You know, also we had early in this this winter a pretty big snowstorm. What was it? 10 inches of snow over the course of a day and then another day that more snow added up. And my personal experience was as I was driving home from the studio, I probably went at the most crowded time as far as traffic goes, but I spent, you know, I was downtown on city roads and there were a lot of plows. The plows were out and they were working. How did you think the response was in the city to the snow? And what do you expect for any future snowstorms we may get?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You know, I think we did a great job. We brought in a new street director, Mr. James Jackson, and, you know, he has experience doing this work in cities across the United States, really coming in and operationalizing things like snow removal. I made it clear in our extensive interview process that was a very important component to the work that I expected him to do, and I think he did a great job. You know, we've been operationalizing a whole host of aspects of city government, and our response to winter weather is one that we've been focusing on for the last several months. And so we earlier this year implemented something called Code Blue. When weather events take place, we've brought in the National Weather Service to really drive what we're expecting as far as weather events and, you know, how we get the plows out, where we get them out, you know, tracking them is something that is we've really operationalized. We've put in checks and balances to make sure and accountability to make sure that we're actually getting the roads plowed, addressing trouble spots in real time, sending our leadership out, Mr. Jackson himself, along with our director of operations, Ben Johnson, and some other city staff, including our neighborhood stabilization team, were out in real time checking on the roads, reporting back, especially those trouble spots or spots that had, you know, snow accumulation during the event, and getting crews out there to address them as we went. And that was enormously successful. And those are big shifts from the ways in which we've done snow removal in the past. The accountability measures themselves are so important to ensuring that we're not only getting the job done, we're getting it done well. And, you know, to no fault of driver, sometimes areas get missed, you know, due to, you know, extra cold temps or bridges or other things, environmental issues can really play into whether or not a road stays clear. And so I'm enormously proud of the work our team did. I'm looking forward to making sure that if we get another snow event, and I'm sure we will, this is St. Louis, I'm sure we'll have more events this year and certainly in the next several years, that this operational approach is going to make us more successful in getting the snow off the streets.
We are visiting with St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer. You're a little over a month into your new job and when the tornado hit, and I'm sure much to your surprise, as it was to ours, some of the alarm systems, the sirens were not functional. And the director has now been replaced. How are we in getting that system up to speed where it's going to sound the alert everywhere?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, we knew our siren system was in need of repair and investment for years, and that's something that we were somewhat aware of. What was truly alarming, however, was the failure to push the button. I mean, that was just so it was just awful. And, you know, as mayor, I take ownership for that. We made some shifts and changes. Most notably, we automated the process through which that button gets pushed, so it will never rely on a human being again. But you're right. On top of the button not getting pushed and the siren system not being activated at all, if it had been activated, many of the sirens were not functional. And we you know, mobilized our team as quickly as possible to get those broken sirens operational. And I'm enormously proud to report that all but two are now operational. In fact, and we've got a plan to get those up and going here in the next couple weeks. I mean, tornado season as we know it is in the spring, but just this week, we had a tornado touchdown in Illinois. We had those high winds here in St. Louis. And, you know, weather events are unpredictable in a lot of ways. And as we go into global warming and other things, we're seeing a lot more unpredictable weather take place. And St. Louis is, you know, is experiencing that. And so we're doing everything we can to make sure that we are being able to alert the community. We're not just addressing the tornado sirens, though. We're also really better activating other ways in which we're communicating to the public, and that is our text message system, signing up for those alerts. Those tornado sirens are just designed to alert people who are outside at the time of the event, and we really want to make sure that we're getting folks signed up for other alerts for their phones and other more reliable ways to communicate with folks when they're inside their homes or inside a building, because we recognize that very few, you know, a small percentage of the population is sitting outside when weather hits.
Mayor Spencer, I know the news cycle moves so fast, and it's almost at times hard to remember everything we've had to deal with in the past year or two. And I know a big story for a long time was the issue with 911 calls in the city of St. Louis and the shortage of dispatchers or people not able to get a hold of anyone, talk to anyone on 911. I know, even I think before you were mayor, you had talked about that issue as well. Where do we stand right now with 911 response time and dispatchers?
You know, that's an area where we are focusing in 2026. We recognize that there's still a lot of work to do as we are building out the new 911 center. We've still got a small funding gap and making sure that we have all the funds aligned to be able to bring that new 911 center online. And that is a priority for the beginning of 2026. Our 911 response time has improved. But more importantly, we recognize a lot more work is needed there, and we're here for it in 2026. That is one of the big priorities for this coming spring.
What are you doing for New Year's?
We have a vigil every year that recognizes victims lost to gun violence, mothers advocating for safe streets. There's a candlelight service tonight on Union Boulevard at Williams Temple Church of God in Christ. And I'll be attending that early this evening to show solidarity, in particular with mothers who've lost their children to gun violence. The end of the year is always an important time to recognize our lives lost to violence here. And that's what I'll be doing on the early side of things. As we go into the evening, I have a teenage son. I'll be making sure that he's safe through the night.
Yeah.
maybe enjoying a glass of champagne.
What are you whipping up? What kind of food are you whipping up over there?
What kind of food am I whipping up?
Yeah.
You know,
he's asked everybody about their food tonight, Mayor.
Oh, you know what? I haven't fully decided yet, but I enjoyed a Guinness last night at McGurk's and discovered that they have brought French fries back online. And while I didn't have some last night, I did make a pledge to myself that I'm going to get some French fries at McGurk's.
French fries are hard to beat. French fries are hard to beat.
French fries are hard to beat. And look, I love the burgers over at McGurk's, but I'm a big fan of French fries with my burger instead of those chips. So I'll be going back soon.
I love it. I've always said, like, instead of a bar crawl, I'd want to do a French fry crawl where you go to all the great French fry places all around the city. Wouldn't that would be fun? So
that would be great. I do love a good French fry.
Mayor Kara Spencer, thank you so much for joining us today on this New Year's Eve and looking back at the past year. And we look forward to talking to you often this year in 2026.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation here this morning.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That is Mayor Kara Spencer joining us here.
You know, French fries get you thinking. You know, we're named after King Louis the whichever. I think he's the originator of the French fry.
I feel like that's not true.
We'll have to look that up.
I feel like that's not at all true.
What was it? Louis the Ninth, wasn't it? That St. Louis is named for?
I think so. Well, we're going to look that up. He's John Hancock. I'm Amy Marks-Scores.
Try those things up, man.
We want to hear from you.
That was amazing.
The Chris and Amy Show, 314-436-7900.
Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
All right. Just as a quick note, as we get into Did You See This?
Yeah.
You can text in 314-436-7900. We want to hear from you. Because
we
want
to hear from
you. We did have someone text in and said, Oceano, I believe that's it. Oceano Restaurant in Clayton.
Clayton, yeah.
Great French fries.
Yeah, that's a good restaurant.
All right, John, did you see this?
Mm.
The Times Square Ball. You know the Times Square Ball.
Well acquainted with it.
Yes. It will drop twice in 2026.
How about that?
Yes. Why, you may ask?
Why?
Well, then the New Year's Eve ball drop in Times Square, such a spectacle. Yes, it will happen tonight. On New Year's Eve, when we usher in 2026. But then it will happen again on July 4th to celebrate the nation's 250th anniversary. Right.
Now,
it's not dropping sequentially, like, and then they pull it back up and then drop it again.
So I'm trying to remember, does the descent begin at midnight or does the descent begin and the ball hits the ground at midnight?
The latter. Because doesn't it take, is it 10 seconds? Is it a 10 second
something
countdown?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. So our first year on KMOX, Michael and I always work New Year's Eve, you know. So we were talking about, you know, what we're going to do for New Year's Eve. And he said, we were still quite green at this whole radio business back then. He said, well, I'm going to stay home and watch Dick Clark's balls drop. That's what he said. That's what he said.
Wow. Well, you know, a lot of people did.
Yes, they did.
A lot of people did.
Yes.
Year after year. Okay, here's a, and I'm saying this as someone who is as lame as it gets. Yes, I've gone to New Year's Eve parties and stayed up. I've always wanted to go on a run at midnight. I've done that. Yeah, I went out for a run at midnight. All of that, yes. But here's the thing. I don't like New Year's Eve. And so I do, if I'm home, you'll flip around the television.
You don't like New Year's Eve.
I don't. And you see the New Year's Eve shows, like the Dick Clark, who now I think it's Ryan Seacrest.
The old Seacrest.
And isn't there like Anderson Cooper and
Andy Cohen.
And Andy Cohen.
Used to be Don Lemon back in the day. Remember him?
Yeah. But there's something like super loserville about all of the New Year's Eve programming. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, because they're out there having the time of their lives, supposedly. And yeah, there you are sitting in your, you know, lonely little room with the television on watching.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of the New Year's shows myself.
There's something kind of depressing. And even like watching the New York one happen at 11.
And they
got to
come
time.
Up with a better song.
Right, it's depressing. I like the poem "Auld Lang Syne," the Robert Burns poem.
I guess
I don't like the song.
I know the song is. It makes you want to just go end it all.
You know? It does.
I mean,
it may as well say like, "So the year
you'll
is
find
over,
me in the driveway
and
in the
now you're sad, and everything's gone too well."
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
And you're forgetting your old acquaintances, and then why would you want to forget your old acquaintances, Amy? I guess
some.
Well, when you start getting,
some, you would want to forget.
You start getting up
I've
there.
Got
I guess
a few
you forget
acquaintances.
All your acquaintances at some point.
Yeah, I've got a few I'd like to forget. Matt, you watch the? It's always like Pitbull is on TV.
Oh, I don't watch it. I mean, like John said, that means I'm at home, sitting on the couch watching TV.
And with if a big L on your forehead.
With a big L on your forehead.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to be near the TV.
No, I agree.
Well,
don't they show like good movies or something around midnight?
Oh, a lot of, especially like TCM, the old movies. That's where I'm at. I like watching old movies.
Old movies, huh?
Mm-hmm. Like black and white.
You got something against Technicolor?
I don't like new movies.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, the second time that the ball dropped, the America 250 celebration, the semi-quincentennial year.
What?
That's what it said.
Semi-quincentennial
year.
I was at the bicentennial down at the Arch. It was the first of what they used to call the VP Fair. Yeah.
That was the first one?
That was, that I remember. Yeah. Anyway, it was big. I mean, we were all family, mom and dad. I was 76. I was young. But it was a great time. We sat on the stairs right there by the arch. They had the flyovers and all the whatnot and the who's this and the what's that.
Well,
it was great.
This is a big one, American 250. So, as I mentioned, the ball's going to drop, but then at 12:04 a.m., they are going to relight the ball in Times Square.
The ball is going to get lit up again.
Red, white, and blue.
How about that?
Yep.
What does it look like before that?
Multicolor?
Like a disco ball, I thought. I don't know.
Giant disco
ball. I'm not watching it. We went over that.
I'm not a loser.
6:00, it'll be New Year's in London. So that's what I'm shooting
and
for.
Happy New Year to our listeners in Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah.
Yes.
And New Zealand, who celebrated first.
Many
and
listeners
Australia.
Out there.
I know, the text line is blowing up from Korea right now. But people are loving this show. They're loving the program in Korea. He's John Hancock. I'm Amy Mark Scores. The Chris and Amy Show continues next.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.